JM in the AM on a Wednesday morning. I want to thank our dear friends, Carrie and Joshua Levine of West Hempstead. They have a brand new grandson, Akiva Gavriel, born to Atara and Daniel Aron. And they are sponsoring, in that honor, our conversation this morning with Rabbi Heber. Rabbi Heber's segment is one that the Levines and many other listeners anxiously await. And we are set to find out as much as we can about the year 5785. Rabbi David Heber is director of the Star K Computer Department and Rav of Kahal Avas Yisrael Tzemach Tzedek in Baltimore, Maryland. He's also author of the book, The Intriguing World of Jewish Time, and the moniker of which he's most proud, of course, is he's the chief of calendaric trivia for JM in the AM. Rabbi David Heber, Gemar Chesima Tova, welcome back to JM in the AM.
Good year to you and all your listeners.
And what a year it is. What a year it's going to be, Rabbi Heber.
Indeed.
And I want to thank...
We've been waiting a lot of years for this one.
And I want to thank those listeners, especially listener Mordechai, who helped me prepare for this segment. Some people came up with some really good stuff, Rabbi Heber. You wanted to actually kick things off, not with the 3 days that we just observed, which are Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuvah, but you told me you're going to start off by saying something interesting about this coming Friday night?
Yeah, it was past Friday night, and it's coming Friday night. So this past Friday night, it was 7 years in a row that we have not had Yom Kippur on Shabbos.
Right, since 2017.
The last time Yom Kippur was on Shabbos was 3 years. There were also three leap years in between during those 7 years.
Right.
Okay, so what's significant of that? We've made Kiddush on Gan HaKais for this past Friday night was the 366th time in a row that we made Kiddush al HaKais.
Because there was no Yom Kippur on Shabbos, you mean?
Correct. V'shimcha is Gematria 366. V'shimcha agalo v'akadosh alein karosa is the way to remember that. And that the last time we made Kiddush so many times in a row was 91 years ago.
Wow.
In 1933. I don't think anybody's alive that would have made Kiddush between 1926 and 1933. You got to be like 105.
And that streak, obviously ends this Friday night.
Correct. Right? It's not going to happen again for over 100 years.
And and that does tell us that the three-day yuntifs, quote-unquote, because everyone doesn't like that expression, they'd rather me say 2 days plus Shabbos, but the three-day yuntifs, as we call it colloquially, have been few and far between in the fall. I'll tell you what's going to make up for that, Rabbi Heber. I know I'm jumping ahead, but I want to warn everybody that for three Pesachs in a row, 2025, 2026, and 2027, three Pesachs in a row have a three-day yuntif.
Right, that's correct, right? And this, of course, this year, which is the big Erev Pesach Shavuos B'Shabbos, which is Purim on Friday, we're going to have Purim Friday. In Israel and Yerushalayim, they're going to have Purim Mishulish. They're going to have, 3 day Purim, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. And then you get Pesach is going to be Masei Shabbos, and that's the last time you're going to have this for 20 years.
Right.
Of Pesach on a Sunday.
And the next time that we're going to have I shouldn't say that. That's not true. Other holidays can fall out, but as you just said, 2025, and next time that there will be an Erev Pesach on Shabbos will be 2045. Which, as we've done these segments over the years, I will remind you that there will be kids who are 10 years old in 2045 who are going to say, "What? How is it possible for Erev Pesach to be on Shabbos? It's impossible." That doesn't happen. It does happen, but there's a 20-year break in between.
Exactly. And people who are married, who maybe are still going to their in-laws and won't have to do it themselves this year because they're by their in-laws, the next time they do it, next time it happens, they're going to be grandparents. They're going to have the Santa Claus by the house.
Who knows? Either they'll have a collection of grandchildren or they're going to be paying a lot of money to take everybody to a hotel. Who knows?
Who knows?
Rabbi Heber's with us. So this is, and by the way, we should mention that obviously there's a difference Between the 3-day Yontif Sur Pesach that I mentioned, this year it's the Erev Pesach is Shabbos, and the following years it's going to be the traditional Wednesday night Seder. So obviously in Israel it won't even be 2 days because you have Friday in between, but obviously in Chutz Laretz in diaspora it'll be 3 days, and that's both in 2026 and 2027. But we are completely jumping ahead of ourselves. Also, am I right that this year, I said this, I hope I'm right, because I said it on Shabbos Shuvah. Isn't this year the answer to the famous trivia question of when you lane 5 days in a row, but the laning's completely different, and it would be Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuvah, Tzom Gedalia, and then Monday Vezos HaBracha?
Correct. It's actually the only time you lane 5 days in a row.
Well, so no.
That exact number.
Yelane Sukkis 5 days.
Exactly, without more. Not more, not less. Not more, not less.
Ah. It's right. The only time you lane only 5 days in a row.
Right. And one other way to phrase it, it's the longest, the most number of days in a row you lane without saying hallel.
Right. That's a great twist to that. I love that. By the way, you know, if for those of us who sometimes, you know, in a sarcastic fashion, refer to the Yom Narayim as the high holidays, and then Sukkot is, of course, the beautiful holiday, and then Simchas Torah as the knockout punch, because we are thank God so full of Yontif this month. Is this? I assume. Am I right that this is the only setup where the Shabbos after Simchas Torah, not Shabbos Bereishis, meaning Shabbos Noach, is also Rosh Chodesh? In other words, for those of us who thought, oh boy, it's going to be a while before we say, you know, a long Shabbos davening again with Hallel, etc., and obviously an additional paragraph in benching. No, it happens immediately, Parshas Noach.
Correct, right. That's right. You're going to have, exactly, it's going to be Hallel. You know, you're going to come back still a week after Yontif and
how many guys are you going to use a Yontif Nusach for that Shachar? I'm telling you. It's inevitable. All right, Rabbi Heber, what else can you tell us about this year 5785?
Okay, so now you mentioned Simchas Torah is Friday, right, and then you have Shabbos Bereishis. So something very unique happens this year, and I'll give you the technicality of it in a second, but there's an extra Shabbos in the winter. It kind of squeezes in because the day after Simchas Torah is Shabbos, and Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Right. Okay, now there's usually 24 Shabboses in the winter.
Right.
This winter has 25 Shabboses. When I say winter, I mean from Sukkot to Pesach.
And you know what that means.
What does that mean?
I know what it means.
Ayakal and Pakuda. Right. Ayakal and Pakuda gets separated.
Even though it's not a leap year.
Only regular. Correct. Only regular year that has that. And now the technicality part. There's what's called the Kriyas Hashana. We've spoken about this before. Every year is defined by three letters. Every year is defined by the first letter. So this year is called Hey Shin Aleph. What that means is, Hey means Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. Shin means it's a Shlema. Cheshvan and Kislev both have 30 days. It's full. And finally, Aleph is Pesach. So there are 14 different types of Kriyas Hashanahs. The most common is a Hey Chav Zayin, which means it's a Thursday, and Kisidron means 29 days of Cheshvan, 30 days of Kislev, and then Pesach is a Shabbos. That is the most common of all the 14. Hey Shin Aleph is the rarest of the 14 types of years. It's the least frequent. Happens on average once in 30 years. It last actually happened 31 years ago. And it's also kind of the longest stretch. It didn't happen between 1903 and 1974. Yeah. What's unique about this year is the Vayakha Bakuri are separate in a regular year. And again, you have the Erev Pesach Shabbos. Okay, that's common. There's not a lot of things that are special to this year that never happened in other years. The one thing that is of interest is it has the rarest Aliyah. Okay, this is a great trivia question for those listening and want to. What is the rarest Aliyah? When I say Aliyah, I mean start and finish part. You have many Aliyahs. You start here, you end there.
Right.
The rarest Aliyah is Parshas Truma is going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, it only happens in this year. So you combine Shishi and Shvi of Truma.
Right.
And that's the rarest Aliyah, a scheduled Aliyah that exists in all of the hundreds of Aliyahs.
And I assume it's Dalet Parashios plus Rosh Chodesh, right? Is that three Torahs at Shabbos?
Yes. It's a Sefer Torah and it's against Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Chodesh Adar. So that's another little interesting little tidbit that we'll get around to.
You know, it's funny. There are more three Torah combinations than we think. You know, we all could talk about the one or two most common, but there are times when it happens we just don't realize. And this obviously...
Right, so you have the three, right? Hanukkah.
Right.
The Hanukkah we're going to have next year. Right. So we'll save that for next year.
Right.
It's not going to happen for long. For Hanukkah, that Hanukkah Shabbos of Tavshin Pei Vav, which always comes, anytime you have a Purim on a Friday, the following Hanukkah, you're going to have three Sefer Torah in the longest benching.
Right.
Okay, we're not going to have that for quite some time. The other interesting thing is that Sarba Teves, of course.
Yeah.
The Friday again.
Yep.
Again, 2 years in a row.
Yep, which is really
two
weird.
Years in a row.
And it ends with Kiddush, of course, as we know. By the way, listener Mordechai pointed out, what do you think of this? Once we talk about a Sarba Teves being on a Friday. He says there are three times this year that were quote-unquote, and you'll get the quote-unquote in a second, that were quote-unquote fasting on Shabbos. There are three times this year in Tavshin Pei He that we are fasting on Shabbos.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point, right? Right.
One, of course, is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur will be the first.
Right.
Asar B'Teves will be the second. And
the end, right? At the end.
And the third.
End of Asar B'Teves, the last hour.
And the third will be the last hour. No, you're right. Asar B'Teves is the last hour. You're still fasting on Shabbos. And hang on a second. I got to look up the third.
Tisha B'Av, you start.
Thank you. And Tisha B'Av starts, quote unquote, on Shabbos afternoon, which obviously is not the case, but you understood that it starts at Shkia at the end of Shabbos. So, those are the three. I can't use these on my next cocktail party because I can't remember the minute to minute. But there you go. Those are the three times we fast on Shabbos. Also, we should mention, by the way, it's four consecutive 3-day Yontifs. It's four.
Right, that's right.
Right? Because you have these three in Chutz Laaretz. And then, of course, you have two in Israel, but three for us for Pesach. So it's four consecutive. And it did feel like we hadn't had them in a while. So we're really piling them on now. There's going to be a bunch coming
up. You are right. You're correct on that. It's been the longest break. 2 points on the 3-day Yontif. One is it's been the longest break possible of no 3-day Yontif between a year ago Pesach and now, with the leap year in between, is the longest possible break you could have without a 3-day Yontif. And that break is not that common. But again, it's not that long. When you think about it, it's not that long, which is another important point here. In Chutz La'aretz, we have a 3-day Yontif every civil year, which means between January, if you look at the 2021, 2022, 2023, every single year, starting from, Pesach through Sukkot, looking at it year, we'll always have a 3-day Yontif. It's either... If Pesach is a Sunday, then it's Pesach. And then if Pesach is a Tuesday, then it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, like this year. If Pesach is a Thursday, then you have Pesach itself. And if Pesach is a Shabbos, then Shavuos is Sunday, Monday.
Right.
So any single year is always going to have a 3-day Yontif. Now, what you had this year, and again, we passed this already, started with Rosh Hashanah, but is that you had the longest time of Kedusha in the whole world. When you think about it, how often do you have where it's Kedusha Shabbos or Yontif in the whole world? Now, on a regular Shabbos...
Oh, because of Israel.
You don't really get it.
3 days in Israel, right.
Exactly, right. In other words, a regular Shabbos, by the time, at least in the summer, when Australia's ending Shabbos and New Zealand's ending Shabbos, Alaska didn't start yet, right? So you don't have the whole world at one time. In the winter, you sort of get it, but not in the smaller regions. It's not necessarily Shabbos. Here, and then we have 2-day Yontifs. You have Yontif Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have it. But here you had like 48 hours where, close to 48 hours, where it was just, Kedusha Shabbos and Yontif, the whole world. It's really a blast of Kedusha, so to speak.
Yeah, it's half a week. It's half a week of Kedusha, right?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's pretty amazing. By the way, listener Mordechai pointed out that there are two fasts this year. We do say Avinu Malkeinu at the end of Yom Kippur. So they're two fasts this year with no Avinu Malkeinu and no Tachanun. You want to give it a shot?
Too fast.
There are two fasts in 5785 where we don't say Avinu Malkeinu that's not true. He meant it. He must mean at Mincha. Two fasts with no Avinu Malkeinu or Tachanun at Mincha.
You have Tzabat Teves because they're Shabbos.
Right, and Tainus Esther.
Right, because now don't forget to say Avinu Malkeinu Friday morning.
Right.
The meaning the Ramah brings, it's interesting terminology. The Ramah says, in my city, this is what we were knowing. Because the meaning is we don't say, there are different opinions with Erev Yom Kippur. That our prevalent meaning is we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Erev Yom Kippur morning or afternoon for sure not. But when it's a Friday, since you're off the whole Shabbos, so the meaning is to say Avinu Malkeinu on Erev Yom Kippur. So this Friday morning, we're gonna say Avinu Malkeinu, even though normally Erev Yom Kippur, you know, we don't have that.
I hope people remember that. That's a big gabbai thing for this Friday. I didn't realize that. I hope the people
correct. And it hasn't happened in 7 years. It hasn't happened in 7 years. So kind of like, you know what
threw off a bunch of shuls this past Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, second day of Rosh Hashanah. There's no Avinu Malkeinu when it's a Friday at Mincha.
Right.
How many shuls said it? I'd like to know.
Yeah, I had to darshan Friday. I like to, you want to move things a little bit long, a little quicker, especially Rosh Hashanah, because everyone wants to get home and they eat the Suda and they get ready for. So we posted a time for Tia Shifer, and I got up to speak before Tia Shifer. I said, I really prepared a shorter drasha because it's Erev Shabbos, but we said Tia Shifer is 11:05, so I got a darshan a little longer. So don't blame me that I'm going longer because
you set us up, Rabbi. You set us up for a long speech. By the way, listener Mordechai also points out, I'll kind of tell you, this guy's been a big help to Nachum Siegel. There are two times this year where we do not have a normal Shalosh Shuddis. There are two times this year where we do not have a normal Shalosh Shuddis.
Erev Pesach.
Very good. And one, obviously, this Shabbos, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
okay, no also, let's do a little bit of the secular-religious crossover, if you don't mind. Number one, interesting tidbit, that the final week of the year, which is a big vacation week for non-Jewish people, the final week of the secular year, coincides with Hanukkah. So if someone has off and they've never been to Israel for Hanukkah, now's the year because Hanukkah in Israel is incredible. So just want to point that out, everybody. Keep that in mind that change your vacation spot for the end of 2024 to Israel. You could spend Hanukkah in Israel, which, as Rabbi Hebrick will attest to, is simply a remarkable place to be, the place to be on Hanukkah.
Let me give you a tip on that. When you're booking your ticket for that, if you can, try to get you're better off on a night flight that leaves late at night than the 1 p.m. Because
you would like
I get to Shiloh all the time.
Because you would
like 1 p.m. you don't have where to light. No, so right. In other words, if you live in New York, let's say you have an 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock flight, so then you have no problem. Even if you have an 8 o'clock flight, you can light at home and head out to the airport. If you have a 1 o'clock flight, then there's nowhere to light because you're on the plane the whole time and there's no place. Obviously, you can't light on the plane.
So lighting,
you get into all these shilas.
So lighting in the place that you're sleeping that night is a myth.
No, you can light where you sleep, but if your flight is at 1 p.m.,
no, I get it.
And you're on the plane.
But what I'm saying is, I thought that if someone's not sleeping there that night because they're heading to the airport, then they would not light. That's incorrect.
But your own home. If it's your own home,
then you could do it.
You can light. In other words, I can light even at Plag. Even I had a flight. Let's say if I had a flight, and you could even light at Plag HaMincha if you have to, as long as it burns a little later. So, if I had a flight at 11 o'clock from, let's say, Newark, I could easily light it here at Plag HaMincha at about 3:50. Right, I can light 3:50 with enough oil till 6 o'clock, 6:15. And then I head right out, sing on air, so out the door, 4 o'clock. I'm at Newark by 7, and then for a 10 o'clock flight, that's plenty of time.
So
that's what you want
to
do.
So what do you recommend to people who are on the afternoon flight on Hanukkah?
That's a good question. Give
someone money and be mishtatef with them.
You can't really do. You can only do it really in your house. The only real eights is have someone. If people are home. If let's say kids are still home or
have
you have people at home,
have them light.
And b'shas hachak, the place can let even a shliach. I could ask my neighbor to come into my house after he lights his and come and light for me. That's about the best you could do.
I was once in an airport lounge Hanukkah night and saw someone actually light a menorah, a Chanukiah, in the lounge. Now, I don't know if that helped at all. I don't know if it actually helped. But.
Yeah, that's tricky. That's not so posh because it's not your makam, really. And it was kind of unique in that it's so bound to where you are, your home. And not say your home, but where you're staying.
Right.
And if you're just in and out of the lounge.
The other secular thing, and we've done this before, but we got to point it out again because it's the classic trivia question. There is no fast of Asar B'Teves in 2024.
Trek, which almost always happens in an Ibriar, which leads to a great trivia question. Name me a leap year that did have an Asar B'Tavis, meaning
wow.
a civil year that has a Hebrew leap year in it. Okay, so right, like 2024. 2024 actually was both, but it's a civil year that had a Hebrew leap year in it. It almost never happens because Asar B'Tavis at the beginning falls before because it's so early. And then since it's a leap year, Asar B'Tavis happens afterwards. So in almost every Hebrew leap year, that civil year will not have a leap year. The last time it happened, I think, was 1976.
Wow.
Okay, Asar B'Tavis was on December the 31st, I believe, 76, which is probably you. Those were the days it was rough to fast because you.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Anyway, yeah, 76. Asar B'Tavis, December. It was a Friday, actually, that year. And so another thing we're talking about Hebrew English is, first of all, of course, Hanukkah is going to cut into 2025.
Right. January. Hanukkah will be in January, right?
And number two is people get excited by this. And I'm always mocked them this. I always introduce this concept with this story. Many, many years ago, we had a guest when I was living in St. Louis, my parents, we had guests all the time from all over. There was a guest we had. I remember he was from Australia, and he showed me his watch. I must have been 10. Said, my date on my watch is the Hebrew date. I don't put the English date. I have the Hebrew date. So it was 10. It was, Yud, Kislev, or whatever it was.
Right.
I use that. So with that, how often, though, is the Hebrew and the English date common?
Oh, January 1st. Asar B'Tavis is the 10th of January.
Exactly. So this year it's going to be January and March.
You're
going to get a double and March. And I just noticed this, but no one ever talks about this. I noticed November and December this year at night, it's going to work. So, for example,
after sunset,
right, on November the 1st at night, it's going to be Aleph Cheshvan, and November the 2nd at night, it's going to be Beis Cheshvan, and so on. So that's also a little bit convenient. You're able to keep track of all these things. Couple other interesting points is this past year we had the big solar eclipse, which I believe was the last time I spoke to you, and Baruch Hashem we were able to see it in Dallas. I was in Dallas, Texas. We drove out to Lewiston.
The rumor was a lot of cloud cover there. That's not true.
There was a lot of cloud cover, but they drove out about a half hour west where it was clearer, and there was some clouds. It was clear, then clouds and clear. We got to see the total eclipse, for at least part of it, at the end, the very end, the clouds cleared, and it was unbelievable.
And it was noticeably darker.
Absolutely, yeah, noticeably darker. And so that's the last eclipse in the United States, total eclipse, solar eclipse, until 2044, which will happen. There are other countries. There could be one in Australia in 4 years. I think Gibraltar has coming up. But now there's a lunar eclipse this year. Okay, it's actually on the Friday Purim, so this is pretty unique event here. Friday Purim at about 3 o'clock in the morning. For those of you returning from your mesivas, if not, you'll set your alarm. But about three, I think it starts about 2 a.m. or maybe one, a little after 1 a.m. And then by about 2:30, 3 o'clock, you'll check the exact times. It'll be total lunar eclipse.
So if you're looking,
right,
if you're looking up late Thursday night, coming back from the Mesiba, and you think you're seeing things, it's not from the drinking. It's an actual lunar
That's
eclipse.
Correct. That's right. Right. Exactly. All right. Yeah.
I know I got to let you go, but we got to make one last point about 5785. For those who look forward all year to participating in special events, especially sports, because they just don't get enough time, as you know, Rabbi Heber, during the year. People are always hitting the books, especially at the young ages, and they don't have time to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. I have to break the news to them that Lag BaOmer this year is on a Friday.
That's correct, right? That's right. That's right. Peleg. Whatever Purim is, that's the day that we call Lag BaOmer.
Peleg?
Oh, Peleg. That's the way I remember it. It's Peleg. Lama Gimel, Purim, Lag. So the day of the week of Purim is always the same day of the week of Lag BaOmer.
Pretty amazing. Rabbi Heber, please join me. You know that you have a lot of fans out there, but none as dedicated as the Levine family, and Carrie and Josh Levine sponsoring this morning's segment in honor of their brand new grandson, Akiva Gavriel, born to Atara and Daniel Aaron. So we wish them a very special Mazel Tov.
Big Mazel Tov to them. Thank you very much. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
And we're going to do this again, please God, at some point during the year. My gosh, 5785 Rabbi Heber has all these interesting quirks and all this interesting trivia. The most important thing, however, that it should be a happy, peaceful, sweet, and amazing year for everybody. Ganz Klal Yisrael, as we say, and after the year that we just had, please God, true peace for the nation of Israel.
Amen. We should be zeichet to a Shana Taiva Besuka and Gemar Chasim Taiva to you, your family, all your listeners, and to Ganz Klal Yisrael.
Can't thank you enough. Rabbi David Heber, everybody, director of the Star K Computer Department, Rav of Kahal Avas Yisrael Tzemach Tzedek in Baltimore. The book is entitled The Intriguing World of Jewish Time. If you like what we've just been discussing for the last half hour, you're going to want to pick up Rabbi Heber's book. Again, it's called The Intriguing World of Jewish Time. And this is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio, around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app.